We had mentioned that the Seder HaDoiris, Seder HaDoiris is a sefer that goes through the generations discussing various Gedolei Yisrael. His name was Rabbi Yechiel Halpern, and he was from Minsk, matter of fact, and he brought down the Shagis Aryeh to be a Rosh Yeshiva. As a matter of fact, in Minsk, we're talking about the mid-1700s, and he writes over there, the Seder HaDoiris writes in the sefer there in Chelik Aleph, he writes that we rely, he says, on Nesmochim al Devorah V'yoyser, he says, Medivra Rambam, that on the Rosh, we rely on the Rosh more than the Rambam. And remember, the reason that he mentioned was because the Rambam writes, Kedivra Nevua, he says, Beli Raya. Because the Rambam, basically, you open up a Rambam and you have all of the halachas, you have halachas in front of you, but you don't have the sources. However, the Rosh, everything that the Rosh paskins is straight, is from the Gemara, and he refers to the Rayas. He doesn't just bring a dry halacha, but brings actually the sources. You can go and check out those various sources. In fact, we once mentioned that, in fact, one of the interesting letters, which is a compilation of many different letters of the Rambam, that someone, as a matter of fact, going back to the time of the Rambam himself, actually challenged the Rambam, and wrote to the Rambam that the particular halacha that you wrote in the Rambam, the Mishnah Torah, the Yorach HaZokah, he says, I'd like you to tell me where the source is. This person was really questioning, you know, the veracity of that halacha, and the verse would tell me, where is your source? And it's very interesting. It's sort of a little bit of a mind-boggling thing, and Rambam says, I'll tell you the truth, I don't remember. I can just tell you when I wrote it, I was very clear about the source. So it's just a very interesting, something like the Rambam himself. First of all, the honesty, you know. And I guess you could have just bothered not to answer at all. You know, just didn't get the letter. Didn't get the question. No, he got the question. This is what he answered. But in any case, so the Seder HaDoiris is right. We rely on the Rosh, Kapon. That's what he said. We rely on the Rosh simply because, he says, the Rosh tells us the sources and we're able, therefore, to identify right straight to the source. Interesting is, again, the Beis Yosef, of course, who is the Psak Halacha, you know, certainly from Sfard, the Sfardish Psak Halacha, that's the Shulchan Aruch, the remorse for the Ashkenazim. But the Beis Yosef, it doesn't make a difference, you know, from which branch of Judaism you belong to. The Beis Yosef is the recognized Godel Hador by all, and very highly revered to the highest degree. And the Rosh basically was a, as we say, was a grown up in Ashkenaz. And the Beis Yosef Lamaisa writes in the Dine Gittin the Gerish, and says that the Rosh is the Rabban Shekol ben Agoyle, he says, of Sfard. Not just he's the Rebbe, he says, of the Jewry, of Ashkenazic Jewry, but he's really the head of the entire, he says, Jewish population that we find in Sfard, considering the authority of the Rosh. And, as a matter of fact, the Chacham Tzvi writes in the Chuvis, was the father of Bianca Vemden, he says, Onu b'nei Ashkenaz, he says, Roiv min Hogeinu, he says, Al-Pidi v'Harosh. Most of our Minhogim is based upon, he says, the teachings of the Rosh, and is the Rosh that we follow. Interesting is that the Ramah, in addition to the Sefer Ramah that we have, Yopesh Shulchan Aruch, and you have there the Ramah, but also, of course, you know, on the tour, the Ramah wrote the Perish called Darkei Moshe. So he went Patur, right? So you have the tour in the middle, was the son of the Rosh. Then you have the Perushim, you have the Beis Yosef on one side, and you have the Bach on the other side. But in the bottom, you have Darkei Moshe. Darkei Moshe is Ramah. The Ramah was Ramoshe Isalis, his name was Moshe. So you have the Darkei Moshe. And Darkei Moshe writes, because Darkei Moshe was a Talmud, and ultimately he was also a son-in-law of Reb Sholem Shachne. Sholem Shachne of Lublin. Anybody who's went to the old Beis HaChaim of Lublin, and you see the cave of the Chayz of Lublin, which that's usually the big attraction. But right not far, Mamish, right not far from the Chayz of Lublin, you see the eyes and the cup, that's also there. He was a very big Misnagid, and he was a Rav of Lublin, and there's a lot of stories about him also. And he used to fight the Hasidim all the time. And then you have a sort of another Matseva there, it's an old Matseva, and that is from Reb Sholem Shachne. Reb Sholem Shachne was really a Godel Hador at this time, was the Rebbe of the Ramah, and also the father-in-law later of the Ramah. The Darkei Moshe brings down that in the yeshiva of Reb Sholem Shachne of Lublin, he says, Lomdus Arosh. That's really where the focus on. They used to learn Rosh, and this is Darkei Moshe Rechaim Simen Kuf Beis, where he brings that again about the idea of how much emphasis was to the teaching of the Rosh. And should be mentioned that there is a sefer. It's called Hanhoges Tzadikim. There was a Yid going back again in the early 1700s who wrote it Tzavo. His name was Reb Moshe Chosid of Prague. That was the name. You realize going back again to the early 1700s. So this is Rav Moshe. This is Rav Moshe Chosid of Prague. Writes the following. And he refers to the Sefer Orchis Chaim. But again, as we mentioned, not everybody referred to it as Orchis Chaim. They called it the Hanhogis Arosh. There was another name known for it. And he refers to this Sefer, Hanhogis Arosh, which is the Hanhogim, of how, right, he is supposed to behave. And that's what the Rosh teaches us here in Orchis Chaim, the ways of life. So he writes there, Rav Moshe Chosid in Prague. He writes that Hanhogis Shetikein Harosh Zal, Ovivi says, Shereb Yankim Balaturim, the Rosh was the father of Yankim Balaturim, and he says, Hanitfosim, it is printed, Besoyf Minhogim, says Shereb Isaac Tirno. Reb Isaac Tirno is a Givaldi Yisefer, he was a Kadman. Interesting, the name Reb Isaac Tirno. Tirno, actually in Czechoslovakia. You know, Tirno is not far from Nitra, you know, that area. And this great Poisek, which is very well and highly Reb Isaac of Tim and Hogim of Reb Isaac Tirno, so he says in the Sefer, at the end of the Sefer of Isaac Tirno, was printed, he says, the Anhogis Arosh, and it's called, now he says, Menikroim Orchis Chaim. So he says, this Sefer, he says, Orchis Chaim, in any case, writes this Reb Moshe Chosid, this Sefer Orchis Chaim, Hein Hein Yesoida HaTorah. The foundations of Torah, he says, to follow this, is you have the foundations of Torah, Umetzpunei Hayira, and the secrets of Yerushimayim, Tumunim Sham, are hidden there. Secrets of Yerushimayim, he says, are hidden in this Sefer, and V'roi Lachos, he writes it so apparently to his children, he says, it's appropriate, Lahatik Eitz LaSidur Shecho, you should keep it next to your Siddur. Should keep it, this Hanhogis of the Rosh, keep it in your Siddur, and the Gam Likrois B'chol Shvua, and you should learn from the Sefer every week. Now he happens to give a regiment, you know, to whom he's writing the Tzoa to, he's writing to them, that V'tucha Likrois B'chol Yoim Chai Simonim. You know, these are really sentences, he calls them a simon, because it goes, it's numbered by Aleph Beis Gimel, like most cases it's very short sentences, but each one is a simon. It says, every day you should learn like 18 of the Simonim, and on Shabbos you should learn 24 Simonim, he says. This way you're going to go covering the Sefer, and he says, and what do you do after you finish learning your daily portion of the Sefer? He says, Shmoyer Zeh, be careful what I'm telling you, in order to make sure that every day you learn some of this Sefer. And after you finish learning, B'chol Yoyim, you don't just close the Sefer. After you finish learning, he says, Taskil V'techapesh, reflect, he says, where are you lacking behind that you are not following what it says here in the Sefer? So it's not enough just merely to learn the Sefer, but then actually make a cheshbon hanefesh, right, and evaluate yourself, how far are you removed from the things that the Sefer recommends. And this is the way a person then for course will strengthen his behavior, and then try to be mechazik yourself in those areas that need chizuk. So whenever you're learning, you say to yourself, well, where am I with regarding what the Rosh said now? Where am I regarding what the Rosh said in the next siman, in the next siman, in the next siman? See to see how you fit in with what the Rosh is saying. And those areas that need tikkun, make sure he says that you are mesakin et kifi yicholtecho, as much as you can. And the truth is, he says, you should do that whatever you're learning, he says. V'chein royal lasso is achar kol limud shilamadato. Whatever you're learning, he says, after you finish learning, a person says to himself, okay, now that I've learned this and this, he says, where am I in keeping up with what I've just learned? Am I really doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And this is putting whatever you're learning into practice and really adopting, not just the knowledge in the head, not enough to have the knowledge in your mind, but actually translates and transforms the person into behaving and to adopting the practice of what you've learned. I want to mention here, just one more nekuda here, and that the Rosh himself writes in the Shas HaTshuvos HaRosh, called Tzadik Gimel. You might remember, mention it again, because here again, the Rosh writes about Vishashualto. He writes to the person who asked him a question, that it was a Dayan, right, who paskin, that anybody, you know, those days again, there was a shortage of Sforim. It's not like today. But Hashem, today, there's no problem. You go to any Sforim store and you can get whatever you want. And if they don't have it, they can order it. And within a few days, you have it shipped. You don't even have to go buy it, right? It can mail to you, so on and so forth. Those days, of course, there was a shortage of Sforim. And there were individuals who happened to have Sforim. Or some people had this and some people had those. So the Dayan basically said that a person who has a Sefer should really lend out. You should lend out a Sefer to enable somebody else to learn. And the Dayan made a decree. He said that anybody who has a Sefer does not lend it out, he says he's going to be penalized. So this person is very upset and he goes and asks the Rosh. The Rosh with the God Lador and says, is this appropriate? Is the Dayan doing the right thing? So the Rosh writes him back and he says, The question you're asking me regarding that particular Dayan, Amisha Eshle Sefer, Vena Roitzel Hashila, a person has a Sefer, doesn't want to lend it. And you can understand also, because if there's a shortage in Sforim, you know, so every Sefer, really, it's a precious jewel. So you're afraid to lend it out, because, you know, you may not get it back in the same way that that you gave it. So the Dayan is here penalizing people, and this person was upset. So he asked the Rosh. Vinosan of Klas, and he gave him Klas, Asar Zehuvim B'chol Yoyim, 10 gold Zehuvim, he says, for every day that he does not learn the Sefer. So it's a continuous one-time Klas. It's like increment. Every day he had the Klas over and over again. And why did the Dayan do that? Because it was Bittul Torah, Be'ir, Machmas, Chesar, and Svaran Be'ir. It was a Bittul Torah. Because people, if you can't borrow, nobody wants to lend, it was a Bittul Torah. So what's the opinion he's asking? Please, Rosh, tell me. Is this Dayan doing okay? Is it right? So the Rosh, Yofedon. Is Paskening right? However, says the Rosh, understood. You're giving out a sefer, it may come back damaged. Says the Rosh, the Dayan is right, you should lend it out. Ubilvad, except, he says, except, Sheyeshumu Shloisha Shemoy Ma Sefer, the sefer should be evaluated by three mumchim, to see what the value of the sefer is, the mipochas v'yiskalkil, and if it's brought back, right, in a damaged way, it's devalued, yishalem hapchas, then he has to pay the difference of how much the sefer was devalued, al pi, based upon the, right, those who have made the assessment, those who have estimated it, al pi, oisim hashemoyim. And not only that, says the Rosh, you should give a mashkin also to make sure that he's going to pay, Torah's the Rosh also. So again, here's a little bit, some insights again about the Rosh. We have today is a little bit of a very interesting thing, a line of the Rosh. I want you to look here, Daf Yud. Look here on Sif Yud Zayin. And it's one line. We're going to be doing one line. Actually, we don't ever do much more, but one line over here. And this is going to talk about Rabbi Sa, about eating. How a Jew should eat, how a Yid should eat. And maybe we'll talk about the avilus of overeating. I confess also guilty about that. And so on and so forth. And they say a little about it. This gives us opportunity a little bit to get into the subject of achila, right? B'derech HaTorah u'B'derech Yisrael. Now, the Rosh says something which can be explained in many different ways, and there are different explanations, but look what the Rosh says. The Rosh makes it quite difficult, b'chalal, it seems, for a Yid to eat in general. Because the Rosh is saying, Shlo yisa isoid b'seudas rishus, right? It's Sif Yud Zayim, page Yud, right? Sif Yud Zayim. Shlo yisa isoid b'seudas rishus. Means to say is, kipshutoi, that the Rosh is saying that a person should not eat in a Seudas Rishus. What does it mean? A person's meal should be a Seudas Mitzvah. So what does it mean? In the morning you want to eat breakfast, right? Doesn't seem to be a Seudas Mitzvah just like that. So don't eat. That's the same. Shlo yisoid b'Seudas Rishus. I want you to take a look. Look further. Kuf Chof Aleph. If you go ahead, Kuf Chof Aleph, you're going to find it. It's Yoyim HaShishi. It's page Nun Zayin. Look Daf Nun Zayin. Look at Daf Nun Zayin. You'll see, because the Rosh goes in order, Sif by Sif. So look at Simon Kuf Chof Aleph. Here the Rosh seems to be saying almost the same thing. And matter of fact, some of the Mefarshim on the Urchis Chaim, the Rosh seems to be repeating himself, sort of. And they try to find the difference. Here the Rosh says, Al-Targil Asamuchol Echol Chutzma Beischo. A person should not, he doesn't answer it, but he says, Al-Targil, don't get used to it eating out of the house. Don't make it a habit of eating out of the house in Kibbutz Harbe. You know what happens is, people get together, you socialize, start eating, everything goes wrong. You're not eating the way you're supposed to be eating, you're not talking the way you're supposed to, you're not saying the subject matter. You get into trouble. Especially with food and wine and drink and all that stuff. So the Rosh says, it's not a good idea. Make sure that you do it as least as possible. Don't get into the habit of eating chutz mebeischo in kibbutz habish loyle sudas mitzvah. Let's see sudas mitzvah. Of course, you're going to a bris, right? You're going to a chasen, of course, and something like that. So that's different. So of course it's chutz lebeischo. But otherwise, tamazoy, I want to go to my friend. I want to eat over there. Just want to eat. The Rosh says, don't make a habit out of it. That's what I'm saying here. Unless it's a sudas mitzvah. Here, the Rosh says shlo yisoid besudas rishus. Now, just looking at it on the surface, seems to be. So what do you mean? So every time I eat, has to be, how many bris are you going to go to? Every time you're going to have to look for a bris. I want to eat breakfast. Rosh says it shouldn't be a Seudas Rishus. So to find out, so here in America, Baruch Hashem, it's not such a problem. There's a lot of bris in every day. But you can imagine the time of the Rosh, I guess, can be one bris a month or something. So whatever it was, you know. And so what are you going to do? Or wait for a Sim Masechta. But I have to tell you, by the way, Rav Tzadik HaKohen of Lublin, the great Rav Tzadik, well, that was Rav Tzadik, his Rebbe, the Ishbitzer, told Rav Tzadik, make sure that you only eat by a Seudas Mitzvah. So Tzadik again, Idwas was missed again, as I say. So where are you going to go? There's not a bris in shul every day. So Tzadik HaKohen made a Sim Masechta every day. That was a genius of Reb Tzadik. He was able to do that. And the Sinas Sechtis was always a Sinas Misa. So I can tell you that I was told that many, many years ago, you know, in Zucker's hotel in Glenwild, Reb Moshe Feinstein used to go there, and my friend Baron Kotler used to go there. I met Reb Schneer there once, and also from Eretz Yisrael, Reb Moshe Chevroni used to come, Reb Yeshiv of Hebron. In fact, he came from Eretz Yisrael. Not saying he came specially to be to go to this hotel, but wisely, he was in the summer, he used to spend some time there. So I was told it was during the 9 days. Actually, this is what Reb Schneer told me. It was during the 9 days. You know, of course, you play she's not as a see him. It's in a hotel, you know, so he can give milchiks all the time. People paying money, they feel not getting the money's worth. So Reb Moshe was there. Reb Moshe made a see him every day. Reb Moshe made a see him every day, and it was a play she's suited every day. He was able to make a see him every day. So Reb Schneer told me, Zechon Baruch, he said that he didn't feel right, you know. Well, this maybe once I see him in the 9 days, he's going to eat meat. Like I see him every day, it seems it's past that business to eat flesh. He abstained. And I said, believe it or not, this said, it caught with Moshe's eye. Moshe saw that he wasn't eating. And Moshe went over to him and said to him, Est, make sure that you eat. Why? Not because I want you to eat. Because you're not going to eat, the other people who are eating are going to think maybe there's something wrong. And maybe they can be eating, we're having some sort of a guilt feeling. Then that shouldn't be. So Meili says you should eat poshit because it's for the benefit of all the other people around this. So Schneer was bringing out, he said, the sensitivity of mind. Not only that he noticed it, but what came to his mind, the first thing that he saw, he said that he was needing to make sure that everybody else should be comfortable with what they are eating. So here it says, so the Rosh is telling us also, the Rosh says, don't eat in a sudas rishus. Right? A sudas rishus means what if it's a voluntary suda, which means just like that. Don't eat. Should be sort of mitzvah. So Reb Moshe Sternbuch, look here in the Pirish. So he suggests, you know, what does the Rosh mean? So if it's not a sort of mitzvah, then don't eat. So the Rosh, so he suggests here, look here in the bottom, Yud Zayin. So he said, Besudas Rishus, Nira, the Mayrik is Misangim is Besudim of Foyar. It's a lavish suda. Now, to eat a simple breakfast, like a per paper, you're not going to wait for a Sudas Mitzvah for that. But if a person can eat like banquet style should be Sudas Mitzvah. That should be Sudas Mitzvah. If it's a suda mefuara, it's supposed to be a lavish type of a suda. Zekov and also, that's what it means, basuda. That means. Now later on, you know, interesting, here he says, besudas rishus. Remember on Kuf Chafalef, remember there he doesn't say the word suda. There says, achila, don't accustom yourself, al targum, to eat chutzal beischa. Chutzal beischa, even if it's not a suda. Regarding a suda, he says, right, eating a lavish meal, that he's talking about, right? It should not be a sudas rishus if it's a fancy thing. Fancy thing should not be sudas rishus. Machutz lebeischol, eating out of the house has other problems. He says out of the house. Out of the house, he says al targalatzam machol. Not even for a lavi suda. Even stamazoy, he says. Look what he says here. Avalahalo nira demayra beikar ha'isa chutz lebeischol. In Kuf Chafalev, he's mentioning the word eating chutz lebeischol. It's like pirish suda. There it doesn't say the word suuda davke. Elakol achila ayin shom. Look over there. And we're going to see this next line again. Okay, he says, "I'm psochim shua hazora rak tamid chachamim." He says, "Psochim is mashma only people on the high level." The Rosh doesn't say that we're here tamid chachamim, but soon we'll get to it. Others, he wants to seems to say also that maybe the Rosh also possibly, according to the Gemara, psochim is talking only to tamid chachamim. In any case, he points out here in the bottom. Look at the brackets, the last line. V'nira shimazmin tamid chachamoy oni lechlemoy have. He says it is kisudas mitzah. So listen, if you want to have a little bit of a lavish meal. You want to turn to Sudas Mitzvah? You have a choice. Invite a Talmud Chacham. Invite a Noni to eat with you. So automatically you have now elevated that Suda to a higher level. So there's ways of turning without making a Seem a Sechel, without that difficulty. If you invite somebody who needs a meal, you know, or a Talmud Chacham, to be Mechavad a Talmud Chacham, you can turn that also into a Sudas Mitzvah. So I just want to mention a little bit. They're talking about Achila. He says the person, as the Rosh says, talks about it in any case about a Sudas Rishus. As we see, there's problems exactly. Does he mean any type of sudas rishus? Well, so one pirish we have, Reb Moshe Sternbuch, and only a lavish sudas should not be a sudas rishus. It's an interesting thing. There is an incredible statistic, and I want to tell you this. One thing here in America, talking about food, and this is written up, and I tell you this. It says that people here in America, basically that they waste 27% of the food that's available for consumption. It's mentioned that of the 356 billion pounds of edible food in the United States, 96 billion is never eaten. of the 356 billion pounds of edible food, 96 billion of that 300 and change is wasted every year. It's pointed out that in Sweden, 25% of the food people buy is wasted. And as a statistic from the Department of Agriculture, estimated that if we would recover 5% of the food that's wasted in America, you could feed 4 million people a day. So you should recover 5%. And if we would recover 25% of food that we waste in America, you could feed 20 million people. It's a hafla vefela. So, Baruch Hashem, that we have this chus, Baruch Hashem, we don't have the problems here, but even though there are some people, we shouldn't say that no one. That's why you have Tom Chishabes and so forth. So let me just tell you, before we start the sheet, a little thing, that there was a Yid in London, Chosh Yid in London, spoke about his father. His father's name was Rav Yitzchak David Teitelbaum. And he was a wealthy Yid who gave a substantial amount to the Ger Rebbe. Gave a substantial amount. Ger, you know, has a section, as you've been to Arad, that's the whole section there where the Ger Hasidim live there. It's in the south there, Yam HaMelech, not far from that area. And this person gave a lot of money to the Ger Rebbe, he would give, to build up that Jewish section, which is in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. So this Yid, his name is Mendel. His father was a Yitzchak David, so Mendel once heard the story about his father, but he was very hesitant to ask his father the details because his story had something to do with Auschwitz. And he didn't want to bring back memories. He wanted to ask his father, but he didn't want to bring up the memories. It had something to do with his father being in Auschwitz. But finally, he said, he heard, and what the story was, and he went up to his father to ask him if it's true. That's what he heard about his father. So he goes over to his father. His father, his name is Rabbi Yitzchak David. He goes to his father and he says, Tati, he said, I heard about you that when you were in Auschwitz, he says, and they would give him his bread, you know, they'd ration the food every morning. So his portion of food that he got, I heard about you, he's saying to his father, this is what I heard. He would cut it in half. And he said, you would keep only half for himself and distribute the other half, bit by bit, mamish, to other people who are starving. So the little bit that he got, he would only keep half for himself, and the other half project he would distribute. His father said, it's true, but he said, I want to explain that where he learned it from. He said, don't give me the credit. I did it, but I wonder where I learned it from, said his father. And he said that he grew up in a little town in Poland, which is called Szeps. A town called Szeps. So he grew up there, and said, in those days, he said, there was no refrigerators, and there was no freezers, so a person could only prepare enough food for a day, otherwise it would spoil. So he says, it was one very cold on a snowy night, he says, and his mother made a thick soup for supper, with a little piece of chicken and vegetables, you know, and he was one of 9 children. So Mamela, he watched like his mother fed, first of all, the father of the house, her husband, and then the children, and she left the last for herself. She didn't take anything unless whatever was left she took for herself. As she was about mamish, she said to serve herself, there was a series of loud knocks on the door. And one of the children opened the door and they see that there was a poor beggar, mamish, covered with snow and slush, and he barges into the house. Mamish, he smelled awful. And he said in Yiddish, he said, Gebtses! And he said, Gebtses, give me to eat. That's what he said. So the mother told him to go into the other room and wash up first. And while he was washing up, she didn't want him to see. It's not so much she wanted him to wash up, but she wanted him to get out of the room. She said, go and wash up. He said, I saw my mother. She took an empty bowl, went around to each child, and took off. She removed a spoonful of soup, he said, from each bowl, right, and put it into the empty bowl. And then she took also from her own, whatever she had, the little she had, she took from her own, and from her husband. By the time, he said, the poor man, he said, returned to the room, he had a full bowl of hot soup. And the others had less. So Rabbi Yitzchak David said, this is what I learned. He said, I learned it from my mother. And the idea is, here we have a food. This is food that's being elevated. This is not a Suda Svishus Rav Oisai. This is a Suda Smitsa on the highest level that one can imagine. And no doubt Rabbi Yitzchak Taka repaid him. Taka became a wealthy man after liberation. And he was able to be a major supporter of Taka of Ger. But this is Anhoge that in Auschwitz himself. He learned with his mother and he practiced the same thing. Took only half for himself. Right, and every bit it was your life depended on it. And yet he still had that mysterious nefesh to be able to give away half. So upon him, so we see that certainly you can elevate food. There's many ways of doing it. So let's look on the sheet what we have here. A number of items. We'll see how much we can do here. Very optimistic. It looks like we're on the sheet over here. Check with me, right. So if you take a look, the first item we have, actually, that's the Orchis Chaim that we have on the Sif Kuf Chafalot. That's the second one that we just learned. Right, with Rosh says over there, Al Tar Galatzamcha, do not get into the habit, L'Echel Chus Mebeischa. In Kibbutz Harbe, with a lot of people, Shloile Sudas Mitzah, unless it's a Sudas Mitzah. Don't get into the habit of eating out of the house, the Rosh says. So we have here a Pirish, which we also learned, once in the past, not this particular piece, it's called Oirach Yeshar. It's from the Ponovich Rav, because the Ponovich Rav used to give Vadim, used to teach Orchis Chaim. And they put together many of the things that he said when he taught Orchis Chaim. So Rav Kahneman, in the Pirish, is called it, they called it Oirach Yesharim. Orchis Chaim, right? Ways of life. Orchis Yesharim, which means the straight way that he is supposed to conduct himself. So it brings like this. So it brings as follows. In Toysis Yontif, he says, for example, remember we mentioned Toysis Yontif himself wrote a translation on Orchis Chaim. Well, how did the Toysis Yontif translate when the Rosh says, do not eat at a Sudas Rishus? So Toysis Yontif says, take a look, Shlo Yoichal Besudas She'eina Mitzvah either min HaTorah or min Divrei Chazal. So the Rosh says, so Toysis Yontif takes it very poshut. Don't eat unless it's a mitzvah. Either it's a mitzvah midoraisa or it's a mitzvah at least midrabbanan. So where does that leave us now? So you can only eat? You can only eat if it's a mamish mitzvah? So the Ponovich Rav first of all asks, Sarachian, he said the question is, the Bepiske Kuf Chaf Aleph, that's the, right, the Sif, that's number one that we have here on the sheet, that's the other, right, that's the other Simon. There the Rosh only talks about Lelehargil Bachila Suud Hashenishal Mitzvah. Lelehargil, by the way, there he says, don't get accustomed. Here he seems to say, again, what we learned today, he doesn't say, never do it. Lo yoichal, it doesn't say al targil. Do not eat at a Sudas Rishus. Kuf Chaf Aleph, though, there he says, don't get into the habit of eating if it's not a Sudas Mitzvah. So which is it? Don't get into the habit, but occasionally it's okay. Occasionally it's okay. But by us, it doesn't say al targil. Don't eat at a Sudas Rishus. Another thing. There the Rosh talks about eating outside of the house. Here it doesn't mention that. V'gam lo hizir al achila zu ele kishichutz mebeischot. Kuf Chaf Aleph, in that simen, it's mashma, the problem is only out of the house. Dim kibbutz b'nei yodam, and only together with other people. So, what the Ponovich Rav wants to do is to explain the difference between what we learned today, don't eat at the Sudas Rishus, what the Rosh is saying, and what the Rosh is saying, don't eat in a habit. What's the difference between the two? I mean, how do we understand both? Yesh loyma. The Mevur B'Gemara Pesachim, he says, Dav Mentes. Mevur B'Gemara Dav Mentes, and V'Chenisa Baramban Perik Hei Mil Chizdeyes, the Rambam says, the warning, the prohibition, Lo'il Echel Besudas Veshus Nemer Davka L'Tamot Chochem. So we also had it from Moshe Sternberg, brought in the Pirish, we just had it. So the Mevur B'Gemara means that it's only for people in the high Madrega. Not as regular people will eat by Sudas Veshus. How's everything going to become a Sudas Mitzvah? We're talking about only by Talmid Chachonim, he says. And he says, truthfully, if you look back at the Rambam's Loshanis, look at Rambam writes. The Rambam says, why Talmud Chochom? Because at Talmud Chochom, he says, Kishem Shach Chochom. See, Chochom. Kishem Shach Chochom Nikr B'Chochom Osoy. Just like a Talmud Chochom. Right, distinguishes himself with his wisdom, with his knowledge, and clearly, right? Clearly he's different than other people. We see he's special. So the same way that the Chochom is different with his knowledge and his wisdom, his eating and drinking should also be above the level of average people. And therefore, so the Ponovich Rav suggests that what the Rosh is saying here, not to eat by Sudas Vishus, really is referring to, he says, is referring to a Talmud Chochom. Because the Rambam, matter of fact, makes a point regarding a Chochom, that a Chochom should be distinguished in all areas. Just like he is above everybody else in Chochmah, in wisdom, and people see he's different, his eating and drinking habits should also be different. But in Kuf Chaf Aleph, he's not talking about Dafke Tamid Chochom, he's talking about regular people. Regular people, he says, don't have to, according to the Ponovich Rav, don't have to look always for Sudas Mitzvah. But at least don't go out of the house to eat. To go out of the house, there he says, out of the house. That is for everybody, but only b'oifen regilus, if you make a habit out of it. Regular people, right, are not that restricted. Just don't make a habit of eating out of the house, he says. Ha'ba piske kuf chaf aleph mazir ho'odom. There is warning a person not to do things that could lead to shamefulness. Eating out of the house, he says, b'kibbutz rabim, that may lead again to unwarranted type of discussion, and the eating will not be appropriately again, and so on and so forth. So that's the difference. So one area is talking about Tamid HaChomim Davke, And the other one is talking about people in general. People in general don't have the hakpada that they have to eat dafke the suda's mitzvah. But at least don't get into the habit of eating out of the house. That's for everybody. That nekuda. Now, I want to show you something very interesting of some of our menhagim that we have, and we see how they become classified. Are they suda's mitzvah or not? Well, here we talk about the marshal, right? One of the greatest poskim, of course, one of the gedoy lahador, marshal and the marshah. You don't see eye to eye very, very often. Certainly in Shas, we have the big machloikis. When you learn the Gemara Tosis, you see the marshah has one pshat, the marshal has a different pshat. Marshal is sometimes magia, right? He makes annotations and he tries to make his corrections in terms of understanding. The marshah says, you didn't have to correct it. The regular text is also fully well. We can get by. It's not necessary to make hagoyes and so on and so forth. Marshal is one of the great poskim as well. You see in the Shach and the Taz, always when you learn your Yeredeya or whatever you learn, wherever you have the Marshal. So the Yam Shel Shloim again is one of the great Svarim of the Marshal. There's also Chuvis Marshal, Shals Chuvis, in addition to the Yam Shel Shloim, which goes up Yisei Rashas. So it brings like this, it brings the Gemara in Bavei Kama. But there's a little story, just want to tell you something. That matter of fact, that there is a Gemara where the Gemara says in Chum that Rav did not eat at the Sudas Rishus. More says Rav. Rav did not eat it. It was very makbid. More has the whole thing there. They sent the meat and didn't want to eat it. Didn't want to partake from the food. More said, why? Because Rav was very makbid not to eat at the Sudas Rishus, only if it was the Sudas Mitzvah. And here there's a Gemara saying the following. Look at this Gemara. Rav is Shmuel Varavasi. Okay, you have here three people. Rav is Shmuel Varavasi. Iklu lebe Shvua HaBen. They came to a celebration called Shvua HaBen. What's Shvua HaBen? So Machloek is Rishayin. So, right, this is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Pei Yom Aleph, Pirish, She'ovru all of Zayin Yomim. Now, Shavua is seven, right? It's another way of saying a bris. When is a bris? After 7 days. So, one of the Perushim is Shavua HaBen means they came to a bris. Why is it called Shavua? Because 7 days passed over. You hear the Lashon? V'hainu l'sudat brismila. Zudat brismila. Okay? So they're coming to us. So Rav Shmuel, here you have a case. Rav Shmuel Avati come to it, and the Omrullah, and some say it was not a bris. It was not a bris. It was Lebei Yeshua HaBen. Now what's Yeshua HaBen? Well, Rashi says that's a Pidyon HaBen. Where does the word Yeshua come to Pidyon HaBen? So Rashi says Yeshua because Metargimin and Pirate, Pirate to redeem. So it's Yeshua HaBen. So there's two opinions, you know, what that celebration was. One opinion is it was a bris mila. And one opinion was, it was what? It was a pinyon aben. Fine. And then the Toysis perish. Toysis is another pshat. Yeshua aben. Toysis doesn't like the pshat. It's pinyon aben to use the word Yeshua. Pinyon aben, say pinyon or something, you know? Yeshua aben, Toysis says, means something else. You know what it is? It's a fascinating thing. Yeshua aben means, Al Shem Shavlad Noisha Venimlad. When a child is born healthy, you make a suda, celebration. It's a Yeshua. It's a miracle. The miracle of birth. So Tosfos is not like Rashi, Yeshua ben, Pidyon ben, Yeshua ben, the Yeshua of a child coming to this world. Kipshuta, Yeshua. It's a gewaltig Yeshua, you can never take that for granted. And it's all shame, there's a posik. The posik says in Yeshaya, Vihimlito Zohar, she delivered a Zohar, Vihimlito. It's like a child escapes from the womb. Escapes from the womb. The posik can bring down the child being born is like coming out of a confinement, like a Yosef Mebeis Asurin. Someone who's in jail, right? So you have to bench goyim like Ansazach. It's a big Yeshua when a child is able to be born. So that's called Yeshua HaBen. V'hoi regilim lasi suda. So they used to make a suda simply for the miracle of childbirth. They made a suda. The elu v'elu divrei l'kim chayim. Both perushim, he says, are, of course, have a lot of merit. However, says the Mashal, I have one little problem. What's my problem? The kasha that I have, from Rina Beper Gidanosh, the Gemara says in Chum, Daf Sadik Hei, on the base, the Gemara says that the Rav Loi Yishani Misudas Rishus. We mentioned a moment ago that Rav would not be Nehen if it's a Sudas Rishus. So let me ask you something. Here we have Rav, Shmuel, and Ravasi. Right? They came to this celebration. Now, according to the opinion, it was a bris, it's a Sudas Mitzvah. So we understand that Rav ate there. If we say it's a pinyon aben, let's also say it's a sudas mitzvah. But if it's no bris, there's no pinyon aben. Merely a child was born and they made a suda. Why would Rav eat there? Why would Rav eat there? There's no chiv to make a suda. So why would Rav eat it? Rav only ate if it's a sudas mitzvah. So the Mashal asks the Kasha, he says, the Gemara says that Rav, well, Ishani Misudis Rishus, Bishlam Amila, he says, I can understand if it's a Bris Mila, Hasud Gufe his Simchas Mitzvah. Right? The Sud itself is part of the Simchas Mitzvah. Kamoy Sudas Chosn. Shenemar, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Soso Noichel Imrasecho, I rejoice al Imrasecho on your mitzvahs. And Imrasecho goes specifically on Bris. Imrasecho means Kodesh Baruch Hu specifically told Avraham Avinu. Right, Bris Mila. So we see Sos, the Zinyan of rejoicing. So Zinyan of Simcha, Zinyan of Asuda, rejoicing by Bris. I understand that, says the Mashal. Well, Mitzvah Gedoyli says, Lichnois Bois Asuda. It's a big mitzvah, he says, to come to a Bris. It's a big mitzvah, he says. Losh Mashal. It's a big mitzvah to go to a Suda of a Bris. Kashuk Asafti, as I wrote, Besoif, he says, as I wrote, Besoif Kol Habosar. Because this is Per Gidanosh he's talking about. Soif Kol Habosar, Simin Kuv Tzadik Refaim. Aval Pinyin Aben, he's even questioning Pinyin Aben, interestingly enough. Pinyin Aben is also, is not, the Suda by Pinyin Aben is not like a Bris. Look what he says. Aval Pinyin Aben, Lekis Sudas Mitzvah Lehedje. It's not really outright, he says, the Sudas Mitzvah. So Oibazoi, he says, how did Rav go and partake? And especially according to the other pshat, Yeshua HaBen means simply they made a suda, a child was born. Nowhere is it mentioned that you have to make that suda. So it's not really a suda's mitzvah, you would think. So therefore the mashal, I'm going to broaden what suda's mitzvah means. I'm going to expand the definition of suda's mitzvah. So the mitzvah is not always when there's a chiyuv to make it. The shal is, why are you making it? Let's take a look. Elanere, he says, call suda. Any suda she odom oyster shloi kederach mereyus the simcha. It's not that you want to make a party. Person wants to make a party, you know, to laugh and to joke around. Yeah, and just no. Any suda that's not made simply for socializing el kedei litin shevach lemokoyim, but it is for a spiritual purpose. You want to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. People are going to come together, right? You can say divrei Torah, maybe zmiris, you know, or the farsim mitzvah. Or the purpose is to be mefarsim mitzvah. So the purpose, he says, for a higher level, or the farsa manes. So let's say a nes happened, and you're making a suda to be a farsa manes. All that is called suda mitzvah. Kari suda mitzvah. Pinyin aben. You know, pinyin. Why you make a suda pinyin aben? For example, pinyin aben, right? Is the farsa mitzvah. Pinyin aben. The suda is that people should see the gevaldige thing, how the kim of pinyin aben took place. It's pirsa mitzvah. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why also pinyin aben is not done at night. There's a number of reasons. One is that usually at night it's dark, and the pirsim in the dark is not the same as pirsim when it is still light outside. There's a bigger pirsim when one can see what's happening, but rather one cannot see. The idea of pigeon abeis to be mefarsim the mitzvah. Mefarsim the mitzvah, that's also called the suda's mitzvah. And lepirish Rabbeinu Tam lefarsim hanes, and Rabbeinu Tam's pshat was Yeshua ben, that's Rabbeinu Tam's pshat. A Yeshua, if you're making a suda, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, I have a healthy child, that's also called suda's mitzvah. Does it say there's a chiyuv to make it? No, there's no chiyuv to make it. But you're making it for that reason. You're making it to be mefarsim, the greatness, because Baruch Hu gave me a child, a healthy child, right? So that's called the Sudas Mitzvah. That's called the Sudas Mitzvah. So it's the Sudas Mitzvah in quotes, so to speak. That also qualifies as the Sudas Mitzvah. She nimlat hazocher v'hishov. The woman also, he says. It's not just that the child had a Yeshua. The woman who gave birth, she also had a Yeshua. She came out, Baruch Hashem, healthy and well. You know how many situations of women have problems in childbirth? Al Sholish, Aver, Shol, Noisim, Mesis. We know different situations. So it's a Yeshua for both. And therefore, look further now. The Alkin Kos of Chocham Echot. Therefore, a Chocham wrote, Umaharai Hevi Besifroi. Who is that Maharai? Is Rabbi Yisai, that's the Trumas Hadeshin. That's the Trumas Hadeshin. Writes in a Sefer, Simon Reish Samachtes, Vezel Hashoyin. Now look at the Trumas Hadeshin writes. The Ma She'onu Noihagim Achshov. The fact that we have a minhag today, le'acha she'noilad hazocher nechnosim l'shom litom b'leil Shabbos Shalom Zocher. Look at here, go back to Shalom Zocher. So it brings down that this minhag that we have, this minhag that we have today, regarding, it says that we go to be toyim b'leil Shabbos hasomach l'leido, right? The leil Shabbos that's closest to the leido, sudas mitzvah. He calls it Shalom Zocher sudas mitzvah. V'hainu. That is the suda he suggests. When Rabbeinu Tam said, very, very interesting, Rabbeinu Tam said, Yeshua HaBen. What's Yeshua HaBen? You're making a suda, right? That the child, that's the Shalom Zocher. You know, because without that, you would say, maybe they made it a day after the child was born. Maybe they made it 2 days after the child was born. No. That's made, if they made it the Leil Shabbos, the Shabbos before the Bris, he says. The Kovu B'Leil Shabbos, why? Because Leil Shabbos people are home during the week. Not everybody's home. Some people work at night. Some people go to sleep at night more, or whatever it is. But they say, Leil Shabbos, Bishah Shahak Koil, Mesuyim Bebeisam, where people are at home. So interesting. So he refers to Sholem Zohar also as a Suras Mitzvah. You don't have to. That's a Chosh, more Chosh, but you don't have to. So it's called a Suda. It's an interesting thing, yeah. So I want to tell you something. There's a sefer you see over here. Has a beautiful chap. You see how they have the part of this thing. Talking about Suda's mitzvah, right? Talking about Suda's mitzvah. So, and we have the simple reading of the Rosh is a person should not eat by the Suda's Rishus, only Suda's mitzvah. Okay, so he had a number of Perushim. He's talking only about a Tamat Chochom. Fine. But now, there's a sefer called Tam Hatzvi in Parshas Chayisora. Now, look what he says. This is a new take totally. Eliezer of Avraham is going to try to find the Shidduch for Yitzchak. So finally, he meets up Rivka. And Rivka takes her to her parents, and there's Lavan and there's Besuel, right? And they offer him something to eat. And what's the famous words that Eliezer says? First, I want to say, by the way, I want you to know, there's a minhag in sons, or at least by sons of Einiklep, well, that when they go, you know, when parents are going to see a girl, let's say, you know, for shidduch purposes, you know, so the parents get together, and then the boy meets the girl. And the people usually, you know, you put a lot of stuff on the table. They don't eat. Why? And then, in other words, until you break the teller, so that means the words really are completed. He says that they don't eat. So some in Hog you have that going out, you know, on a they don't eat. So this is based on Eliezer Eved Avrom's Vayoyim Eloichal Ad Im Debati Devorai. Now the question is why. Why did Eliezer say, I'm not going to eat until I finish what I have to say? Well, Yesh Lefarish, here's a new mamish, a new novel pshat. Yesh Lefarish Tamad Over. Ki kemoy sheyisa b'chulun daf tzadik hei. In Mesechtes Chulun we saw that, what did we see over there? The Rav lo yehavim mishanim mishudas rishus. The Mashal brought it down before. Rav had, right, clearly was makpid not to eat from mishudas rishus. So suggest this sefer, Tamad Tzvi, that kein hoye eitzel Eliezer. Eliezer also. He did not want to eat at the Suda's Rishus. So when they offered him to eat, he said, wait a minute, he says. He said to himself, he didn't say the reason to them. He didn't want to eat. Simply, he's not eating. So what was the solution? So he says, "L'chein le'rotz alechol achiti asuda Suda's Mitzvah." If I somehow can convert this Suda into Suda's Mitzvah, then I'm going to eat. So Eliezer of Avraham took a challenge, according to the Sefer. Very interesting pshat. Eliezer Avraham took a challenge. They want me to eat. But Eliezer Avraham had to have this minig. He followed this chumrah, or this good hanhogi toive, not to eat by Suda's Rishus. So I had to figure out a way to turn this into a Suda's Mitzvah. So, the Hine is, they said, Bishal Zichuvas Chavis Yoyer. Right? The Chavis Yoyer was Rabbi Yoyer Chaim Bachrach, was Rav in Worms. And his caver is there. Whoever was in Worms could still see the caver. Right? And he basically lived in the 1600s. And he was Nifter Tov Samach Beis, which is in 1702, the Chavis Yoyer, when the great Gedolim, great Poiskim. So Chavis Yoyer writes, Shesude she'oise balhanes, Isude that a balhanes makes beyoim shenas eloi hanes, every year on the yard side of the nes, should call it your side, you know, whenever you have, right, the anniversary, Chavis Yoyer mitzvah. So if a person, let's say, had a nes, right, and he wants to commemorate that nes, let's say he came out of an operation, let's say Chavis Yoyer had a car accident, right? And he had an S. So some people, right, will set aside, you know what? Every year on this date, I'm going to make a Suda. Chavis Yoyer said that's a Suda's Mitzvah. You know what happened 25 years ago? The Ness happened 25 years ago. But the fact that you are making this to commemorate an S, the Chavis Yoyer said this is a Suda's Mitzvah. Eliezer Avraham had an S. Kfitza Saderach. V'ovoi hayum elo'oyin. Remember Eliezer says? He says to them, today I came, he said, to the well. Today I came to the spring. And Rashi says, Hayom Yososi, Hayom Bosi, going all the way, right? From Avram Avinu, leaving Avram Avinu, and within the same day, he's now, right, at the house of Lavan and Besuel. It's an S. So Eliezer Avraham figures, I'm going to first tell them the Ness that I had, and the Sud, and the food I'm going to eat is going to be a Sud as Mitzvah to celebrate that Ness. The food that I'm going to eat. So now, in other words, I have to speak first. Why am I speaking first? I let them know the Ness. And the Suda is going to be a celebration, he said, to celebrate that Ness. That transformed all that I'm going to be eating now to make it into a Suda's Mitzvah. That's why he wanted to talk about it. They should know that I had a Ness. So the Achil is going to be now a celebration for the Ness. So as he points out, Eliezer Name, he says, Eliezer also, She'ir loy oisa yoyim hanes, the kitzis haderech, Eliezer had the nes of kitzis haderech, where that the derech shrunk, where the whole way, the long, long distance that would normally take, who knows how many days or weeks, it shrunk for him, right? It contracted. So bikish lasis hasudul sudis mitzvah. How? Bezeshi yisapelem, as he did, v'ovoy hayim aloy, and I want you to know the greatness that happened to me. That's today that I arrived. As Rashi says, Hayom Yisosi, Mamish, the same day that I left, the same day I arrived. Malamit Yekov Tzuloyoros. How could it be one day? Because I had Kvitzis Aderech. That's how it happened. Vizehu. This is what he meant to say. Loi Oichal Ad Im Debarti Devoroi Lesapir Tilis Hashem Benifli Oiso. That's what I really want to tell you. I'm going to tell you the greatness that happened to me. Shal Yidei Zeh. Because now, by explaining this, by declaring this, so then he says he saw the Kedushas Levi. Rav Yitzchak says the same thing for a different reason. But when he was mechaber to Kedushas Levi, because Levi also works out that Eliezer wanted to make this Asudas Mitzvah, but he has a different mahalach, the Kedushas Levi. But the point is, both are going the same mahalach, that this was the idea. Eliezer didn't want to eat until he's able to transform the Achil into Asudas Mitzvah. How's it going to be Surah Smith according to this pshat now? Because by Adim Debarti, I'm going to tell them the Gevuris Hashem. I'm going to tell them, said the Neflois of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Vovay Haim Aloyin, that was able to make it in one day, that's turning it mamish into a Surah Smith. So I want to show you, if you look on top of the sheet, number 5, all the way, on the left side on top. So you have here from the Shloah Kodesh. Now, Kitzur Shloah. Kitzur Shloah is a very, very useful, because it was a great machaber. Interesting, he had the same name like the Orach HaShulchan, even though he lived hundreds of years before. His name is Yechiel Mechel Epstein. The Orach HaShulchan's name was Yechiel Mechel Epstein. And the Kitzur Shloah is also Yechiel Mechel Epstein, and he made a kitzur. He went through the Shloah Kodesh, and he took it out mamish very nicely, systematically. So he was able, first of all, to get a little bit of a handle on it, because the Shloah is a massive sefer. So like this, he took out mamish the very, very the crucial points in the Kodesh to be able to learn it that way. So just want to mention that there was some rumors about him. I have to tell you a little bit when the whole Maisa of the whole Shabbos Tzvi era, that a lot of people, Gedoyl Yisroel, that some of them more, some less, some nothing, but some got a little bit of a, how should I say, were a little bit gechapt, and a little bit became a little bit sort of, how should I say it is, yeah, some sort of, having seen some merit and not being some sort of a little bit of an attachment, a little bit of attachment to Shabbos Tzvi, great people, and there's, in the old Hagdome, since that was taken out, in the old Hagdom of the original Svarim of the Kitzur Shloah, there's some reference at the bottom where he's Mispal, which is Zerch Tekula Shleima, and he mentioned something where there's a little bit of some code Rosh HaTev is there, which was put him under suspicion, interesting enough. It wasn't Chap by everybody. That maybe, and I'm saying it, Bamish, I'm saying this with hesitation, but there was at least rumors, let's put it this way. So I'm not going to say this as a definite, but it was rumored that there was some Shtekul. Okay. Anyway, but it was accepted by all great Kitzur Shloah. The Sefer is accepted all over. So here it is. So the Kitzur Shloah again. This is really the Shloah Kodesh. When we're saying Kitzur Shloah, it's really the Shloah Kodesh. These are the words. This is the teaching of the Shloah Kodesh. Look what the Shloah Kodesh says. It's in the area of Birchas Hamozen. Shloah Kodesh says, "Hoisham Nilvav." He says a conscientious Yid. Kol Yomav Oichal Sudas Mitzvah. Oh, but he's going to give you another. It's a simple answer. So we can run to a bris every day. You make a seimer. You don't have to. You can make your own private sudas mitzvah. How? By what are your kavanas when you're eating? Why are you eating? You're eating to be healthy. Why? If your kavana is to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better, that achil is a sudas mitzvah. And therefore it's possible no matter what you eat. No matter. It doesn't have to be any Pinyin Ben, it doesn't have to be a bris, doesn't have to be a seam, doesn't have to be a chasen. He says, Kol yom of oichel suras mitzvah means she'ein kavanosoi belechem ashu oichel rak lahavri lahamet gufoi. He says, my kavana when I'm eating is to be healthy, right? And to be able to strengthen my body. Nochoi numezuma lavoidis hanefesh. If a person eats with that kavana, so everything that he eats is mamish asura smitzah. So you can transform a push into mundane achila. And every day diga achila, you turn, you elevate it. And the truth is, you can enjoy things on this world, but have in mind, by being joy, I'm now in a better mood. If I'm in a better mood, so I'm able to serve Kodesh Baruch Hu better. So the truth is, any form of pleasure that a person has, he's able to channel it. He's able to channel it again to serve Kodesh Baruch Hu for a higher level. His kavanah should not be simply to pleasure himself. That you can know HaKadosh Baruch Hu whatever you do. Person thinks you only know Hashem when you're in shul. It's not true. Person thinks I only can know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, when I put on tefillin. It's not true. You can know Hashem, he says, when you take a dollar out of your pocket, when you're doing business with somebody, when you're speaking to somebody. You always are mindful and you're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu every step of the way that you do. No matter what you, when you're putting on your clothing, you're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, V'omer Chazal have said, Kol Masecho Yilashem Shemayim. And he says, and even if somebody, look, if somebody's very thirsty, it's very clear, his first kavanah, right, in most cases is, I'm thirsty. So it could be the pleasure of having some water. But even that pleasure of having some water can also be elevated, as he says, I feel it so much wrong. Even if he's thirsty and hungry, he says, that's not really praiseworthy. This is not giving me life. If I'm thirsty and I have water, right, it's replenishing my life. So it's very interesting. So no time here to go in, but the, just tell you by heart, the Sefer Lechem Osher, the Sefer, his name is Rabbi Osher Anshel Yehuda Miller. Very choshev rov in Europe. And it's a mechaber of many other sfarim as well, the Sefer Lechem Osher. Big Talmud Chocham, had a lot of bekiyas and chuvas some Sefer as well. And there's a lot of his pedim on Gedol Yisroel. He says when the Atzachayim was nifter, on the Ketishas Yontev was nifter, and so on. He had a shaykhus to Sigit as well. He just wants to say, he's a Yisroel coming as a goy. He says, it's very beautiful. I'll just show you the first posik here, and I'll tell you. Look at the posik we have here. Ve'ikach Yisroel choyse Moshe. Yisroel, the farmer of Moshe, took oilu zvachim, right? He took a korban oilu, right? Offering, a korban oilu, an oilu offering, with zvachim, and other korbanos. Rashi says shlomim. Because Yisroel is offering korban. Lelikim. What does it say after that? Vayova Yaharoin v'chazikne Yisrael lechol lechem m'mchayser Moshe lifne lelikim. So he said a very beautiful pshat. Yisrael coming as a goy. As a goy, right, he understands to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only in the spiritual realm. He does not understand they could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu by eating and drinking, doing all the, because the goyim do the same thing. The animals do the same thing. So anybody who's an earthly being, right, has to do that person for survival. Yisrael was, did not understand that there is such a concept of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu by doing things which has no spiritual connotation. It's eating and drinking. So Yisrael comes along and he brings oil to Zvachim Lulakim. He comes from where his vantage point, he comes, yeah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you bring a carbon. Right? So now you bring a carbon, I can understand, you bring sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the way of serving. So the Pasuk says, Aharon came to teach him differently. Aharon says, Lecho Lechem, you can eat stam bread, Lifne Lulakim. He also served in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the difference. He wants to show you, he became a Yid now, you have to have a broader understanding how you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not with a limited or narrow understanding that you had till now. So I just want to conclude here, you know, with the Mechaber, the Sefer Eish Kodesh, you know, Reb Kleinim Zkalman, Hashem Yikom Domei, great tzaddik, Piasetzne, you know, the Bismedush Eish Kodesh. The Eish Kodesh, by the way, in Eretz Yisrael also. There's also Bismedush Eish Kodesh. Eish Kodesh was a big tzaddik, and he was nifter, you know, during the Holocaust. He wrote also many svarim. The sefer called, was very popular, was called Chovas HaTalmidim, which means the Talmud who's growing up in yeshiva, a lot of Musar, a lot of Hadrocha. He was a Gvaldigi Mechanech, and he was a Rebbe of Hasidim as well. So he was in the Warsaw Ghetto, and it was terrible, terrible tzoros. They bring down the following from him. There's a sefer called Oira of the Simcha on Megillas Esther in Stakat Purim B'Chodesh Adar. Let's see a few lines here. Okay, here. And it brings down, he says, Begeto Varshe. He says, in the Warsaw Ghetto, number 8. Begeto Varshe. Roho Admar Rabbeinu Kloinim Ezecha Tzadik Levrocha. And if he alone the male is Yoshe, boy, the male, and Halavai should be a male Yoshe upon us. What did he see? He saw Nebuchadnezzar. He saw how downtrodden they were. He saw how fallen they were. He saw the lowly matzev show you mudu koyim ritzutz. The mamish broke him. He saw how Yidin Nebuchadnezzar says in the Warsaw Ghetto. He saw the Yidin were literally spiritually broken and physically torn. So he wanted to elevate them. He said, the Zohar says Purim is Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim. What does it mean that Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim? What's the connection between Yom Kippur and Purim? So he said the pshat like this. He says the Zohar says again, Yom HaKippurim means Kippurim, Kemoy Purim. It means that there is a correlation between Purim and Yom Kippur. And he said as follows. He says when Yom Kippur comes along, right? Even though you say to yourself, I'm going to be very hungry, you understand that you have to fast, in spite of the fact, right? It's going to be very, some people fast, they are more difficult than others. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a mitzvah, gave a gzeira, that you have to fast on Yom Kippur. In the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a gzeira, you have to fast on Yom Kippur, on Purim he made a gzeira, you have to be besimcha, even if it hurts. It hurts to fast too. You're going to fast though. Yom HaKippurim is Yom Kippurim. There's a correlation between Purim. This is what they do to the Eden, he says. Now is a time that you have to be besimcha. It's shver, but this is what Hashem wants, and you have to be besimcha. Just like Yom Kippur, you have to fast even though it hurts. You have to, interesting, you have to be besimcha even if it hurts. You have to be besimcha. That's what he said to them. He said, V'chein kishem shebiyom ha-kippurim, he said. The same as Yom Kippur, mukhrochim l'stano is b'gzeiris, is baruch shemoy, kach gam b'purim, mukhrochim l'smoyach, so also in Purim, that we have to be besimcha. So I want to tell you something very interesting. The idea we're talking about, you know, eating Suris Rishus, talking about Suris Mitzvah. So the interesting, there was someone wrote an essay, there was actually a Rav Pesayek, who basically he deals a lot with these kind of subjects. He said, that talks about, he says, why people are not careful, he says, in terms of controlling what they eat and how they eat. And the question is, usually the answer is you say it's self-control, it's lacking self-control. That's the first usual interpretation. Why does a person not control his eating habits, right? Some people, mom's overeat and they're terribly, terribly overweight, even though they know that it's not good for them. The first answer is, it's lack of self-control. So this person said, he said, no. He said, that's not the reason. Actually, he was a rather number of communities. Even interesting, he gave some lectures to the FBI also. He was a noted lecturer. So there was an article, which really, it was never printed, but there was an article, he said, you shall eat and be satisfied, and it's called the Torah approach, he said, to eating healthy. That's called the Torah approach to eating healthy. And there he asked the question, he said, is the reason that a person does not eat healthy, he said, is it because of lack of self-control that causes to overeat? He says, no. What's the raya? He brings out a number of rayas. Would any of us eat, he says, milchiks just 1 hour after fleishiks? We're all going to wait 6 hours. Why? You want to eat. So you do have self-control. You're not going to eat milchiks 1 hour after fleishiks. You're going to wait 6 hours. Are any of us going to eat chametz on Pesach? No matter how much the desire. You won't. You do have self-control. He goes on to point out, would anyone think of eating, right, towards a long day of fasting by Nila time, right, you're almost starving, would you eat before Nila or before Tzeisa Kechovim? He says, on Yom Kippur? No. So the answer is, he says, the truth is, he says, we're starving, he said, but it's not for food. We're starving for something else, and food fills that void. You're starving something else, and food fills that void. And what are you starving for? So once he gave Ipsa a lecture, he said it was called self-esteem through Jewish spirituality. And he tied it, he said, why do people crave for food? So he said, after a lecture, he gave that lecture, so a man who was more than 100 pounds overweight said, I'm filled but not fulfilled. I'm filled, he said, but not fulfilled, he said. And the pshat is, people are looking for something, and many times food gives them that artificial satisfaction. And therefore you'll see people eat even when they're not hungry, often, eat. So what's the word? Because why? It's substituting something else that they need. That's the easiest thing. That's the easiest thing for substituting that. And the point is, Rabbi said, the neshama also craves. The neshama craves for connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us food, to make that connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu, because you make a bracha before eating, if you make it properly, and you make a bracha after eating, and that for us, you're not only filling our physical bodies with the food, but you're also filling the spiritual need that the neshama needs. So the eating is a hechatimsa also to satisfy the neshama, by making that bracha before you eat and after you eat. And the truth is, Rabbi Yigdal Miller would say many times, he was really always talking about these things, that it would be, he says, very important for a person to take a little bit of time to understand, he said, the benefits of food. If you'd stop, he would say, just admire, he says, the color, the texture, and the beauty of food. He said, then we would feel so much more grateful, he said, to Kodesh Baruch Hu for the food that we're privileged to eat. He said, food, he said, should really be eaten slowly, because it should be savored and should be appreciated. And once said, he said, remember, because Baruch Hu could have made it that our diet would be motor oil, he said, or gasoline too. So thank Hashem, he said that that's not the diet. That's what I wanted, that's all you needed. Put in gasoline, right? You have to thank Hashem for that. So this one end with Reb Cheskel Levenstein said. Levenstein said that people who bench is because they believe that that's the firm thing to do. That's what they're benching. So Zavadi said that's a mitzvah. But you have to realize that there's a purpose to the benching, and that is for the Hakoras HaToiv. To remember that it's the element, the gratitude of Kodesh Baruch Hu for the food and for its appearance. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave such beautiful food. This is what he gave you. And most people do not think of that at all when they are benching. I'm thanking Hashem, he says, Boshet Al the Hakoras HaToiv for giving me all that. So this is a little bit something to think about. To just tell you that Rav David Cohn once he told a story that it was a city far from New York. Mamshu concluding, with a little over time, just Mamshu another minute. Rav David Cohn mentioned, he says, it was a city far from New York, and a certain prominent woman was asked by the manal, by the principal of the Beis Yaakov, to be the guest of honor. It was a ladies' dinner, and she refused. So the manal asked her why she refused to accept the honors of being the guest of honor. So she said that it is... He said, listen, he said, your daughters are attending the school, and we need your help. He said, so you should have a chalice to the school. Why are you refusing to accept? We know this guy all the time. So why are you refusing to accept to be guest of honor? So the reason that she said was, he says, interesting thing is, because she said she's overweight. She's overweight, and therefore she's embarrassed to stand in front of the oilam. They don't want to do that. So the manal said to her, listen, the dinner is in 3 months, he says, and he gave her a bracha that by then she would lose all the weight she wanted and she would be proud to be seen in public. So she accepted. 3 months later, right, the dinner arrives, right? But she did not lose even an ounce. So she gets up to speak, and she says right away, she said the truth, I want you to know I didn't want to accept the honor, he says, and I felt I was overweight, would not look good. However, the manal gave me a bracha, I should lose weight. I wanted to know it was a bracha levatol.